Welcome back to TechNet Radio. If it's time for you to say goodbye to Amazon Web Services and hello to Windows Azure, then this is the episode for you. Tune in as Keith Mayer demos for us how to quickly and easily migrate your AWS virtual machines to Windows Azure Infrastructure Services. Keith, the mic is yours.
Hey, everybody. Welcome back to another episode of TechNet Radio and our Build Your Private Cloud series. In today's episode, we're going to be talking all about migrating cloud to cloud. We're going to be walking through the process of migrating from Amazon AWS over to our Windows Azure cloud platform. And I've gotten a lot of interest from IT pros out in the field as I've been around the country delivering presentations on hybrid and private cloud around doing these types of migration scenarios, because once IT pros understand the capabilities that are present in Windows Azure Infrastructure Services, they're really interested in learning how to migrate VMs that they may already have running up in another cloud provider over to Windows Azure. Some of the key advantages that IT pros have cited that they see in Windows Azure versus other cloud providers are, first, the VM portability that Windows Azure provides, since Windows Azure provides the same virtual hard disk format that Hyper-V and many other common on-premises virtualization platforms provide. By leveraging Azure, it gives you really unprecedented cloud flexibility in terms of being able to run virtual machines up in the Windows Azure cloud, where it makes sense from a disaster recovery and on-demand provisioning and internet scale standpoint. But at the same time, as business needs change and evolve, being able to relocate those virtual machines easily without having to do complex migrations, either to on-premises Hyper-V or other virtualization host installs that support the VHD format, or being able to take those same virtual machines and locate them out at a colo facility, perhaps being maintained by a hosting provider. So VM portability is certainly one. Unified hybrid cloud management is gaining as another strong area of advantage, because with our System Center 2012 Service Pack 1 product offerings around Virtual Machine Manager and App Controller working together, you have a single pane of management control, a single management console that gives you the ability to manage your virtual machines and cloud services that are running up in Windows Azure side by side with those that you have running in your on-premises private cloud environment. The service level agreement that Windows Azure provides, the SLA, is another area that a lot of IT pros have really cited, because with Windows Azure, unlike most other cloud providers, we provide a very granular SLA that's financially backed. In terms of granularity, what we mean by that is our SLA actually drills down to the availability of the specific infrastructure components that are hosting your virtual machines and applications, unlike many other cloud service providers, where their SLA is really just to the availability of an overall data center region or subregion. And so what a lot of IT pros have found is that with other cloud providers, their SLA isn't granular enough to really give the assurance that the infrastructure that's supporting their applications in the cloud is going to be up and running when they need it. And then competitive costs is the last area. You know, Windows Azure over the last several weeks has announced some new very competitive pricing. And in fact, just last week at TechEd, the Windows Azure team announced very attractive pricing for MSDN subscribers looking to build dev and test environments in the Windows Azure cloud for as little as 6 cents a compute hour, even past the MSDN allotments of Windows Azure time. So there's some really great capabilities and advantages that Windows Azure can provide, and that's really been driving a lot of the interest around migrating from other cloud platforms over to Windows Azure. So in this video, we'll be walking through those steps, and then we'll also provide a link down below on the page to a guided lab where you'll be able to step through the same actions yourself and perform an end-to-end migration of a virtual machine from Amazon AWS over to Windows Azure Infrastructure Services. So let's switch over to our lab environment and get started on our migration. Okay, so we're over in our lab environment, and I've already established a remote desktop connection. Now, in order to do the migration, we first need to get the virtual machine exported in a virtual hard disk format. One of the challenges with Amazon AWS is that it uses a proprietary AMI format for its virtual machine images. And while Amazon provides some limited import and export capabilities, if you upload a virtual machine image into Amazon AWS, it doesn't provide any broad export capabilities for other virtual machines that you begin from an Amazon platform image. So in order to do the export, what I found to be really convenient is to use the disk to VHD free tool from our sysinternals team. And you can download that tool. I've already downloaded and installed disk to VHD on the virtual machine that I'm running up in Amazon AWS, and I've launched it. We can see that screen here in our lab environment. And the first thing that the disk to VHD tool will ask me is to specify a VHD file name that I wish to export this virtual machine to. So what I've done is I've attached a temporary virtual hard disk, this D drive, to have enough space to export out my C drive as a virtual hard disk. So I'll initially export it inside the virtual machine to its D drive, and then once I have that exported, we'll copy it up somewhere in the cloud that we could bring it down, convert it, and get it imported into Windows Azure. So the first step is I'll need to specify a VHD file name. So I'll click on my browse button, and I'll specify a folder and file name path, and then I'll go ahead and click the save button to accept that file name. If my virtual machine had multiple virtual hard disks that I wish to export, what this to VHD will do is it will use this VHD file name path as the base path, and then suffix it with a unique ID for the first, second, third virtual hard disk. So my next step is to select the specific virtual hard disks that I wish to export. So I'm going to go ahead and select my C drive. Now, disk to VHD does a live capture of the running virtual machine. It uses volume shadow copy services to do that capture. So it's a safe application-aware capture. However, to make it the best possible capture, we do recommend that you first quiesce any services or applications that you may have running inside the virtual machine just to prevent any disk I/O from occurring during that capture process. So I've already done that as well. And now that I'm ready to begin exporting the virtual machine as a VHD, I'll click the Create button. And it'll step through the process of snapshotting the volumes that I've selected over to a virtual hard disk format. And so you'll see as it goes through that process, it'll give us a progress indicator as it's copying and snapshotting the C volume over to a virtual hard disk that I've specified in my D drive. And in just a few more moments, the snapshot will be complete. There we go. We've got the disk export to a VHD file completed successfully. And now we can go ahead and click our close button. So we've got our virtual machine now exported into a temporary folder on the D volume of our virtual machine, exported as a dynamically expanding virtual hard disk. The next step is to copy that virtual hard disk somewhere outside of this virtual machine that's accessible for us to copy down, do any final conversion that we need to do, and then copy up to Windows Azure and import it as a virtual machine. In order to do that, I find that it's easiest to use PowerShell in order to do that copy process to get our virtual hard disk copied over to a cloud accessible location. Now, what I'm going to do is I'm just going to open up my Windows PowerShell integrated scripting environment, my ISE environment. And inside there, I've already pasted in a set of PowerShell commandlets that use the Amazon AWS PowerShell module. So prior to running these commandlets, I first downloaded and installed the PowerShell module from aws.amazon.com/PowerShell. And now we're just going to step through the process of copying that exported VHD up to a cloud services location that we can then download and convert from. So what I'm going to do is I'm first going to set my execution policy. So I'll go ahead and highlight my first line and run that. And it'll prompt me to make sure that I really want to change my execution policy to remote sign. I'll click the yes button to accept that. And then I'll import the AWS PowerShell module. So I'll select that line and run it. That'll give me access to the commandlets that are used for the Amazon AWS, for managing Amazon AWS within PowerShell. Now, in order to authenticate to my Amazon AWS account through PowerShell, I'll need to specify some AWS credentials. And that's what I have on my next line. When you provision a new account in Amazon AWS, it allows you to set up an access key and a secret key. And I'm just telling PowerShell what those credentials are. So I'll highlight the line, run it, and now PowerShell knows how, when I use any of the other AWS PowerShell commandlets, it knows how to authenticate properly to my specific AWS account. So what I need to do next is give ourselves a storage location in the cloud. So I'm going to use an AWS bucket on the S3 storage service and go ahead and create that new bucket as a storage location. And then I'm going to write that virtual hard disk that we exported to the D drive of our virtual machine out to that bucket. And the reason I'm doing this is once that's exported out to the Amazon S3 bucket, it'll be sitting in a path that I will be able to access outside of this VM so that I can then download that exported VHD, convert it and add the Hyper-V integration services to it, and then bring it up into Windows Azure. So the upload process takes a little bit of time. It is pretty quick because it's running cloud to cloud from Amazon AWS to the Amazon S3 storage. So we're not bringing it down and pushing it back. But it does take a little bit of time based on the size of your virtual hard disk. It looks like our upload process has completed. And so now we're finished with the portion of the migration process that's done from the virtual machine on the Amazon AWS side, so the portion that's done from the source virtual machine. So what I'm going to do is go ahead and click on my minimize button, minimize PowerShell, and I'm going to switch over to an on-premises Windows Server 2012 Hyper-V host that I have in my environment. So I've switched over now to a remote desktop connection over on my Hyper-V host running Windows Server 2012. And what I'm going to do is download that virtual hard disk from the Amazon S3 cloud locally to my Hyper-V host, because I still have a couple additional migration pieces that I need to do before I can upload the VHD to Windows Azure. I'll also do this inside PowerShell. So I'm going to open up my PowerShell ISE, run that as administrator on my on-premises Windows Server 2012 lab machine. And similar to what I did up in the VM running on Amazon AWS, in order to copy this virtual hard disk down, I'll first need to go through the steps of setting my execution policy and importing the AWS module and setting the same access credentials so that now PowerShell from my lab machine also knows how to authenticate to my AWS account. So I'll go ahead and collapse down that region of PowerShell code. And then the next step we want to do is actually download that VHD that we copied out to Amazon S3, download it locally so that we can convert it and prepare it for uploading to Windows Azure. So the first thing I'm going to do is set up a temp path variable that points to the location of where I wish to download this virtual hard disk locally. So I'll go ahead and run that. And then I'm going to use the copy S3 object PowerShell commandlet to copy from my virtual hard disk up on the S3 cloud to that local file path that I just specified with my VHD temp path PowerShell variable. So I'll go ahead and run that. And similarly, based on the size of our virtual hard disk, this can take a little bit of time to run through. We'll run that. And you'll see it downloading. It'll take a little bit of break here, and then we'll pick back up once our file is downloaded. Okay, our file is downloaded. So we're ready to continue with the next step. So now that we've got our virtual hard disk downloaded into our temp path, we want to now go through a conversion process to convert this dynamically expanding VHD to a fixed VHD type. And that's because Windows Azure Infrastructure Services only supports fixed size VHDs for uploading and provisioning as virtual machines on Azure. So we'll go ahead and select set a converted path of where we wish to convert to for our conversion process to a fixed size VHD. So I'll go ahead and run that. And we'll use the convert-VHD PowerShell commandlet to convert our temporary path dynamically expanding VHD to our converted path fixed size VHD. So we're using the path and destination path parameters and the VHD type of fixed in order to perform that conversion. So I'll go ahead and run that command, and it'll take a little while for it to convert through that disk. So keep in mind, you do need to have a little bit of extra disk space on your local Windows Server 2012 host for this conversion process. You need to have enough disk space to initially download the original VHD, the dynamically expanding VHD from the Amazon cloud. And then you also have to have enough disk space to store that copy of the converted VHD as well. Once the conversion is completed, you can actually erase the temporary VHD that you downloaded, because everything from this point on will be done against this new converted path. So we'll be performing the additional steps against our fixed size VHD. So our conversion's complete. As we were talking, converted that to a fixed size VHD. So I'm going to go ahead and scroll down a little bit here. And the next piece that we need to do inside this VHD is we need to install Hyper-V integration services. Hyper-V integration services provides the virtualized drivers that the virtual machine will use for communicating with the underlying Hyper-V host. And as you may be aware, Windows Azure Infrastructure Services actually uses Windows Server 2012 Hyper-V, kind of stock out of box, as the virtualization host component. So the same Hyper-V integration services we would normally install for a virtual machine that's running on premises, we would also use for prepping a virtual machine that's going to be uploaded to Windows Azure Infrastructure Services. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to set this cab path variable to point to the location on my Windows Server 2012 Hyper-V host of where the Hyper-V integration services are located. You'll see I've got a couple different versions here. There's a 6X version and a 6.2 version. The 6X version is intended for Windows 7 and Windows Server 2008 R2 based VMs. The 6.2 version is intended for virtual machines that are running Windows 8 or Windows Server 2012. Our virtual machine that we're converting is running Windows Server 2008 R2, so I'm going to use the 6X version, and I'll set my cab path variable to that path. So I'll go ahead and set that variable. And then once that variable is set, we've got a little bit of work to do to get the VHD that we converted to be mounted. We're going to be doing something called offline VHD servicing in order to inject the Hyper-V integration services. So in our next command, we're going to use the mount-VHD PowerShell commandlet, and we'll actually mount that VHD path as a drive letter. So I'm going to go ahead and run that. It'll return a disk number for the mounted disk number. And to make sure that that VHD is online from a mounted standpoint, I'm just going to check its operational status. And we'll see that from an operational status standpoint, it tells me that it's online. So good to go. What we need to know now is when it mounted that VHD, which drive letter did it assign? So I'm going to use the get disk PowerShell command, let the get the disk number that I just mounted, and then get the volume and drive letter that was used to mount this virtual hard disk. I'm going to store that in my VHD drive letter variable. So I'll go ahead and run that. Now for this mounted VHD, oftentimes by default when you mount a VHD, they come online as a read-only VHD. Because we're writing changes to them, we need to make sure that our mounted VHD is not set to a read-only volume status. So I'm going to use the set disk PowerShell commandlet and use the is read only false parameter on that to make sure that I can write to it. Well, now I'm good to go. I've got my VHD mounted. I've got it in a writable state. So I'm going to use the add Windows package PowerShell commandlet to add our cab path. Remember, that's the variable that points to our Hyper-V integration services into that mounted VHD drive letter. So this is how we add and remove features or roles from or additional components on an offline state, on an offline basis from a virtual hard disk. So I'm going to go ahead and run that. And the add Windows package will take a little while to run through. It'll go through the process of installing the Hyper-V integration services. Great, so we've got it installed and it's completed. We don't need to restart or anything of that nature because we're adding this to an offline VHD. We can go ahead and now dismount the VHD, and now our VHD is prepped for being able to upload to Windows Azure storage and being able to provision as a new virtual machine on Windows Azure. So I'm just going to scroll down a bit. I've got the PowerShell snippets for doing that upload to Windows Azure listed up next. And in order to upload to Windows Azure, there's a few variables that I'm going to be setting up. So I'm setting up the name of my Windows Azure storage account. So this is a storage account that I previously provisioned. The source VHD path. So I'm going to be using that VHD converted path variable that we converted to a fixed size VHD and installed our Hyper-V integration services on as my source path. I also am building out a destination path. So it's using the name of my storage account and then following it with the full URL path to the VHD file name that I wish to have pointed to for my copy. So this is the destination of where I'll be uploading my VHD to on my Windows Azure storage account. I am also specifying my VM name and Windows Azure Cloud Service name. Those two will be used once the upload is completed to provision my new virtual machine. Okay, so I'm going to go ahead and run through these variables just to set their values. And then, now that my variables are set, I'm going to use the add Azure VHD PowerShell commandlet to upload my local converted VHD to my destination location using the variables that I just set up above. So this add Azure VHD is going to perform the upload process. And the upload process is actually a multi-step process where as it starts going through the upload, it first rolls through and calculates an MD5 hash for that virtual hard disk. The reason it does this is so that it can verify and validate that the copy process is has taken place correctly once it's completed. So that takes a little bit of time. After it calculates the MD5 hash, it then goes through the process of doing an empty block detection. Because although we're converting to a fixed size VHD and uploading a fixed size VHD, the Azure platform is smart enough to know that it doesn't need to upload any empty blocks, any unused blocks within that VHD. So it detects those empty blocks so that it determines which blocks occupy data and which blocks have which blocks are empty and which blocks have actual content inside of them, so that it only will be uploading the actual content. Once it's done that, it'll begin the upload process. The upload process, because we're going from on-premises up to Windows Azure, is going to be based on the size of your the size of the data that's in use inside the VHD that you're uploading, along with the speed of your internet connection. And so we'll begin the upload process, and then we'll come back in a little bit once the upload has completed and continue on. Okay, so the upload is completed. So now that we've got our virtual hard disk running up on or stored up on Windows Azure storage, the next step is to tag this virtual hard disk file as an Azure virtual disk. Because when we provision a new virtual machine, the new virtual machine is going to be looking at the list of Azure virtual disks that it can be built from. And so we tag that VHD as an Azure virtual disk that can be used with virtual machines by using the add Azure disk PowerShell commandlet. We need to specify the operating system, Windows or Linux, the location of our destination VHD that we uploaded, and then we need to provide a name for our virtual disk. So I'm using my VM name -VHD. So I'll go ahead and run through that. And now we've got our VHD added in the list of Azure virtual disks. If I scroll down a little bit further, the last step is to provision our new Azure VM. And so we're using a couple PowerShell commandlets in order to do that. We're using new Azure VM config to prepare a base VM configuration for a small size instance that's using the uploaded Azure virtual disk that we just tagged. We're passing that through on our Windows PowerShell pipeline to the add Azure endpoint PowerShell commandlet so that we can make sure that when our VM is initially provisioned, it has a firewall endpoint opened up for remote desktop. So we're opening up port 3389 so that we'll be able to remote desktop into our virtual machine after it's initially provisioned. And then we're passing that down the Windows PowerShell pipeline to the new Azure VM command. The new Azure VM command is the commandlet that does the actual provisioning of a VM inside our cloud service and in the specified Windows Azure data center region. So I'll go ahead and select that command. We'll run it. And this will take a little few minutes as well to finish the provisioning process to roll through that. It'll create our new cloud service and create our new virtual machine inside. So we see it created our new cloud service so far. And there we go. It created our new virtual machine as well. Well, we're finished now with Windows PowerShell. At this point, our new virtual machine is provisioned and getting started up in the Windows Azure cloud platform, up on Windows Azure Infrastructure Services. So let's switch over to our Windows Azure Management Portal inside Internet Explorer and take a look at this newly prepared and provisioned virtual machine. I'm going to switch over to Internet Explorer, and in my Windows Azure Management Portal, I'm going to select the Virtual Machines page. And on that virtual machines page, we'll see our newly migrated virtual machine in a running status. So it's currently running on Windows Azure. One of the first things that we need to do, though, is because we installed the Hyper-V integration services into our virtual hard disk, but the VM hasn't had a chance to actually run through adding any of those drivers. The very first time the VM comes up on Windows Azure, it's going to run through a driver detection and add all of those drivers for Hyper-V integration services. In order for some of those drivers to take effect, after the migration, we'll need to do a one-time restart of the VM so that it restarts freshly with all of those drivers having been installed. So our VM is up and running, but we'll want to do a restart. First, I'll go ahead and click the Yes button. It's restarting our virtual machine. So you'll see it's in a stopping state. It'll switch to a starting state. And shortly, it'll be back in a running state again. There we go. It's back in a running state. At this point, our virtual machine should be ready for servicing other applications that we're running inside that VM. We should be able to connect to it, go in through remote desktop, take a look at the virtual machine, start any services that we may have set to manual start prior to the migration or whatnot, and it should be functional. So at this point, what I'm going to do is I've selected my virtual machine on my virtual machines page. I'm going to click on the connect button, and I'll go ahead and open a remote desktop connection. So I'll click on the connect button. I'll specify my credentials for logging in. So I'll use my local administrator account and my password. I'll go ahead and click the OK button. And it'll go through the process of establishing my remote desktop connection. And in a moment, we will have that remote desktop connection up and running. And there we are. So we're now connected in to our migrated virtual machine running up on the Windows Azure Infrastructure Services cloud platform. And at this point, the VM is fully converted, and we can go through any final configuration, starting services back up and whatnot in order to make those services available to users. So this completes our migration process for migrating a virtual machine from Amazon AWS to Windows Azure Infrastructure Services. So in our episode today of TechNet Radio, we walk through the process of doing a cloud V2V conversion, a virtual-to-virtual conversion from Amazon AWS to the Windows Azure cloud platform. Take advantage of a lot of the key features of Windows Azure that IT pros are seeing around VM portability, around cost competitiveness, around a much stronger SLA for Windows Azure services, and unified management of public cloud and private cloud into hybrid cloud scenarios by leveraging System Center 2012, SP1, VMM, and App Controller together once the migration is completed. Now keep in mind that we were using some specific tools like the Amazon PowerShell module that related to Amazon AWS, but the overall process, aside from copying to and from the Amazon AWS cloud, are pretty generic and could be used for migrating from any cloud platform, whether it's a public cloud platform or a hosted platform, over to Windows Azure as well. Disk to VHD is a general tool that can prepare virtual hard disks out of any virtual or physical server workload. And once you have that VHD file and it's copied down to your local Windows Server 2012 Hyper-V host in your lab for prepping, you can go through the rest of that process, which is going to be the same, of converting to a fixed-size VHD, installing Hyper-V integration services, uploading to Windows Azure, and provisioning on Windows Azure, regardless of the source platform you're converting from. So although we specifically targeted Amazon AWS as our source platform to convert from in our episode today, this same general process can be used to convert from really any other cloud platform over to Windows Azure as well, following the same general steps. Well, thanks so much, everybody, for attending our episode today. Hopefully it's been some great information for you. Check out the guided lab that's linked towards the bottom of the page so that you can walk through these steps yourself and get an understanding of how you may leverage Windows Azure Infrastructure Services to achieve some of the same advantages that many other IT pros have achieved as well. Thanks so much. Keith Mayer signing off. I look forward to seeing you in a future episode of TechNet Radio.